right, everyone. Welcome back to the Man and Machine Podcast, brought to you by Archimedes International. You have found us on episode 83. We've had a little bit of a hiatus because the team has been working on all sorts of interesting projects, but we've got all four agents of Archimedes joining for this episode 83. I'm your host, Dr. Ian Betts, here in Columbus, Ohio. My brother Will Bett is going to drop in at some point in time during the podcast. We'll let him introduce himself then. But otherwise, we've got the original agent, Matt Makoviak, and the newest agent, Zane Bali. Matt, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself to any of the listening audience who may not have heard your brilliance before?
Well, Dr. Bett, it's good to be back with you. And Zane, it's a pleasure to join you for the first time on this podcast. As Dr. Bett mentioned, my name is Matt Makoviak, and I am one of the original agents of the Man and Machine podcast. And I feel like, guys, I feel like this is the gif of like Hulk Hogan and Macho Man, like not sure if they shake hands, like what's going to happen here. So we're all joining together for this awesome podcast, and I'm happy to be with you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt. And Zane, how about yourself?
I'd love to say as a newbie, I don't know where to place myself on the spectrum. So I'm going to say John Cena. You can't see me. I just got here. But I'm really happy for those who may have heard me. I was on episode 71. I recommend go checking that out. Previously, I've worked at a news org called The Factual, and I did really great work there. And now I'm going back to school at Boston University for media science. So media, new media has always been my love child, and I love exploring these topics in new tech with the team.
Yeah, and that's one of the main reasons we decided to get the whole team together to do episode 83 was new tech. And it seems like one of the hottest topics that we've talked about over the course of the podcast, now we're to episode 83, has been the use of technology, whether that's AI, machine-based learning, or other types of technology in military aspects or policing. And so that's where we find ourselves today for episode 83, is in the wake of another unfortunate school shooting that makes me very uncomfortable to even think about. But there was a company that put out a press release that drew a ton of response. Let's put that mildly. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to talk today about the utilization of this technology or other technologies for policing or supervising. And this was, the company's called Axon, A-X-O-N, and we'll have the information linked. I put a link to their press release on the Twitter page already as we're recording here. And I want to get your guys' initial instincts when they say that they're interested in using drones to help address mass shootings. So Zane, how about as the John Cena of the group, without getting into too much detail here, because we got other ideas that transpired after this, but the idea of using drones to help address mass shootings, what did you think when you first saw this?
I think that in the future, it might be a great tool. But on the big picture scale and just amid public outrage and know it coming from my public health background, I know Congress has taken a lot of action to, fund other means to secure schools, whether that's training police offices, police departments across the country for active shooters. After Columbine, that was a big thing. And you hear a lot of talk in news about, oh, we need to secure our schools, especially from, people who, let's just say it, Republicans, who really want to, I'm going to say it, pawn off Uvalde's botched response, because we had to wait an hour and 30 some minutes for a tactical unit to get in there. So in the big picture, it's a shiny tool, but it's definitely, I don't think, the one we need now. It's definitely worth investing up front. But right now, we should focus on research and more practical stuff. But I'm happy to talk about it.
Okay, Matt, how about yourself? Zane mentioned Columbine. You and I were freshmen in college. I have very vivid memories of watching that unfold on television. And I was traveling back into the country during this event that happened in Texas, unfortunately. But when you think from your technology background, the use of drones to help assist mass shootings, where does your mind go initially?
Well, guys, it was interesting reading this this press release because I was working on a project, or I did work on a project years ago with the Oregon City Schools and the Oregon Police Department to kind of integrate the camera system with the schools with their phone system, and then to kind of have that main control center, if you will, over at the Oregon Police Department to kind of see what's going on in the event of a school shooting. So I have been a part of a project where this is a reality. I think what's interesting, and I'm kind of with Zane on this too, is, you know, I think it's great to be able to incorporate this technology to try to stop an active shooter. But, you know, Ian, when we were young and there was Columbine, I mean, those were two kids with guns in a school. Now you've got military grade body armor for these shooters. And I don't know what a drone with a taser is going to do to really affect that. So it's really sad that we're in the state of the world right now, but I think the technology is a good step to try to stop it. But I don't know if using a taser in those kind of scenarios is going to do any good.
Yeah. And I, you know, had similar thoughts, Matt, initially. You know, I think in the wake of a terrible event like this, people really do want to try to use their ideas and their skill set to improve other potential situations. So I don't kind of knock the CEO, his name is Rick Smith, initially for putting out, hey, we've got a tool that we think could be helpful, even if, as we'll discuss here shortly, maybe it's not the best tool, as you guys have alluded to. You know, so I don't give him a negative rating for trying to make some impact positively. But this may not be the technology to do it. As you point out, Matt, there are other sorts of things people can use to prevent a taser on a drone from stopping them. So his actual quote from the beginning of this press release was, "Today, the only viable response to a mass shooter is another person with a gun," which I don't particularly agree with. And we don't necessarily need to dive down that rabbit hole. But from the perspective of using technology, maybe that's not on foot, right? So using a drone to interact with a shooter, whether it's a mass shooting or, you know, someone walking down the street, what do you think about that, Zane? Do you think that a drone could be helpful to avoid other injuries to human beings while trying to finish or end a potential threat?
Yeah, I think especially when you think of all the scenarios where there's a huge factor in human judgment and you need a quick response time, that drones do pose as a great tool because they're able to, I mean, they're much more agile. Looking at the video on Axon's page, they showed some of their drone's capabilities. And I think if you could deter situations, whether it's just a drone, take away the weapons aspect of it, just that's there surveilling, not to sound too big brother, but, you know, in the correct context, it gives law enforcement more information to respond, or say in a hostage situation, maybe discuss and like have a conversation where you have someone on the other side who might be have the credentials to interact with someone who's obviously not in the right mind. I think that would actually be a great application of this.
What about you, Matt? Where does your mind go?
Yeah, I think Zane hit on a good point. I mean, you watch some of those videos, even of drones going through, you know, NFL football stadiums and how fast they can fly and turn on a dime and be able to kind of get to point A to point B pretty quick. You know, I thought, guys, that possibly maybe not the taser aspect of it, but maybe just distracting the shooter enough to kind of, you know, allow police or law enforcement to kind of, you know, get to the shooter faster so that maybe the shooter's occupied and really can't focus his or her attention on the, you know, law enforcement or hostages or kids or whoever that they're going after. So maybe from that aspect, it's got some good tools to be able to help out in these situations. But I just don't know, unless you are going to bring lethal force with these drones, if it's going to stop somebody dead in their tracks. No pun intended.
Yeah, well, I mean, or maybe not pun intended, but with the reality here, I remember watching Columbine unfold and wondering how something like that could happen. And now we're, 24 years into the future, and these things are still happening with a relatively common pace. I wonder if, this people use drones for all sorts of things. I know Matt, one of your sons, uses drones for some school activities, but I wonder if a drone in this situation, whether, maybe it doesn't have a taser on it to stop the shooter, but a drone that could have been outside of the building to identify in what room the shooter was, or the example I gave before, if there's someone that is out in public doing this sort of thing, a drone to identify where they are, but maybe also, as you said, Zane, to alert other people, speaking to those people, hey, this is an area that you should avoid, or you should evacuate, or hey, go to this next point. This is a safe point to go to. Again, maybe not actively engaging a shooter or someone who's a threat, but notifying other people in the vicinity of what's going on, so you don't put another human being into harm's way, whether that's a law enforcement person or a bystander or a good Samaritan who thinks that they're going to go help out. If a drone can be there to say, actually, do not go here, you should go to this other location, maybe that would be a better application of drone technology in these situations. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I would say that if that were a part of like a supplementary, like in addition to having a plan in the response, whether it's from your school resource officer or local law enforcement, that would definitely help. But it definitely, I don't personally think it could be, say, a magic bullet where most of those policies are already in place. I would say there would be a plan in place. And if a school made the decision to use those drones, maybe it would be better than, say, traditional response. Going to Uvalde for just some real world context, I know that the school resource officer, what made this so caused a lot of public outrage was the school resource officer actually wasn't originally there when there were initial reports said there was. And that's obviously a failure in a real life scenario. So maybe a drone that is always on the scene would have helped in that scenario.
Good point.
I would say too, security cameras and incorporating that with law enforcement is all great, but you might not be able to cover every square inch of, the building. So having some mobility and being able to kind of get to some places where maybe a camera is not would definitely be a tool. I guess I see it more as a tool to aid in helping taking down a shooter or stopping a shooter, but not necessarily the end means of doing so, unless you're going to go full lethal force.
Yeah. And that's a great point, Matt, because Rick Smith, again, the CEO of Axon, in this press release, he laid out that non-lethal drones are a part of a three-part strategy to stop mass shooter events. So I'm just going to read these off and maybe get your guys' initial thoughts. So one, integrate camera networks and other sensors into real-time communications with first responders. We've talked about that a little bit. Enhance first responder effectiveness through immersive virtual reality active shooter response training. It's a mouthful. And then enable immediate threat incapacitation through remotely operated non-lethal drone capability. So it's, and we'll talk about this Reddit Ask Me Anything here in a moment that Rick Smith offered himself up to. But he's in this statement saying non-lethal drone activity. I think all of our minds in a millisecond go to potential lethal force here. But what do you guys think about these non-lethal strategies? Did we kind of talk about these, or do you have other thoughts from a non-lethal standpoint?
I think it depends upon the situation. If you look at some of the shooters with, like I said, with the military grade body armor, I don't know what it's going to do with it, but you know, if there's just a guy with a gun in a grocery store, you know, with nothing, no body armor, you know, bulletproof vest, anything like that, I mean, you might have a chance to stop him and slow him down, but I think it really just depends upon the situation.
Yeah, I would also add that what is super interesting is for me, when I think of like escalation, so say there is an active shooter, like what if it is common knowledge, like to that the shooter knows this technology exists, would that change how they conduct themselves as opposed to knowing there's a man on, there's a squad of police officers on the other side of that door? I mean, obviously, if you set out to do one of these horrific things, you might already have, you know, the worst possible outcome in your mind. But if maybe halfway through, you kind of lost your gusto and there was a non-lethal drone coming your way, maybe that would make you feel less likely to take more extreme action.
Yeah, and I think that's both a couple of good points. It's hard to know what's going through people's minds when they choose either in a one-on-one situation to cause harm to another person or in one of these mass events. And obviously we're all technophiles interested in utilizing emerging technologies to help people. You know, one of the ways that I get concerned about this type of technology is maybe the person who wants to cause harm, again, maybe in one-on-one situation or in a larger situation, now no longer needs to be there because they have one of these drones or a derivative thereof. And whether they're just tasing someone or using some other self-prescribed utility, I think we've all seen examples, futuristic examples of the use of drones for very negative outcomes, including lethal force. So I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on the potential that, you know, someone who wants to cause harm could use something like this to cause harm.
Yeah. I mean, let's look at the military for a second, guys. I mean, they're using drone technology to do this exact same thing, more on a lethal basis, on a, you know, reconnaissance, you know, ability as well. So this technology is not, you know, brand new. It's been in use for a while. I would imagine that doing something like that would probably, you'd have to have a pretty, I don't know if you could just buy it on the open market. I don't think you could buy a drone with a gun per se, but I guess you could do things with drones, maybe bomb wise or something like that. I hate to even go down that road and, you know, and think about it. But one thing I wanted to bring up too, I found very interesting, especially talking about like the ethical and regulatory framework for these devices. And it kind of says, you know, humans must own decisions and remain accountable. And it's exactly what we're not doing in this country by addressing gun laws and mental health and kicking the can down the road and making it seem like you're going to take your guns away. We're not really addressing the issue. And it really falls back. It's just, to me, it's ironic that it's kind of the same framework as a gun with a drone is, you know, whoever pulls that trigger is a person responsible for it. It's not the gun. It's not the drone itself, but it's the person behind that device.
Great point, Matt.
Yeah, I want to even add on to that again, because that is such a great point. Quickly, when you pointed out like the military does this routinely, and you're talking about how it's ultimately the person, and a lot of people, whether you disagree or agree with the like a fundamental philosophy, we're in this together. Like there's a community behind that person. Obviously, they were raised, but like, if you think about this Uvalde shooter, this was a kid raised in that community, and like what systemically went wrong or what could have gone better to, you know, to dissuade him from taking that path. Obviously, it's a whole nother pathology to get there. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that if you don't have the system in place to allow for the safe and responsible purchase of a firearm, and you don't have Congress actually passing laws that support safer Second Amendment. You know, it is a right, but gun control is, I feel like everything has now become so hyperbolized and crazy, but point is there are institutions that could make this right. And when I think about like drone strikes done by the military, like just last year, there was a deadly drone strike in Kabul that killed like 10 civilians. And the Pentagon initially tried covering it up until Washington Post and a bunch of other powerful news orgs hit their beat and really leaned into an investigation. And what turned into what a first month of cover-up finally revealed after a long time, 3 months, that this was a mistake they had made at the highest levels. And when you think of the response of Uvalde, it does matter among our politicians whether we're going to get a law, because just take our public health research into gun violence. We don't even have the statistics, and we haven't had it for a few decades. And just thinking about that accountability, it seems like everyone's fed up because the can has been kicked so far down the road.
Yeah, and there's definitely, I think, a role for us to be looking at the politics of how we got to this point in time, the culture that's led us to this point in time, and then also how the technology has got us to this point in time. Matt, you bring up, I think, a really salient point, which we've discussed on other episodes of the podcast, and I think we've all seen some of these futuristic playouts of drones causing mass casualties, right? So people by nature are curious and ingenious, and some people by nature are harmful to others. So I did want to point out, we've kind of covered them, but again, in the press release, Axon's three laws of first responder drones. So I think, Matt, you said the first one, which is humans must own decisions and remain accountable, right? So this is not someone has to be accountable, just like someone will be if a handgun at home, which is the number one cause of violent death with guns in the home, is a gun that's in the home owned by that person. The number one is a self-inflicted injury. The second of Axon's three laws of first responders is drones should be used to save lives, not take them. So we've kind of talked about how that could go in the wrong direction. And then third is agencies must provide rigorous oversight and transparency to ensure acceptable use. So we know that there's a political process, and sometimes people will subvert that. I'm curious to get your all's thoughts, because some of the first comments, even on Twitter, that I saw was, hey, don't you know that as soon as these things become available, they're going to be used to put down peaceful protests or activists, that the military or the police will use these non-lethal drones to subdue, everyday American citizens. So I'm curious what your guys' initial gut instincts were with that. Matt, what do you think?
Well, that's interesting. And in full transparency, I do manage IT for the city of Toledo, and the Toledo Police Department does use Axon, body cameras. And basically, let's talk about acceptable use. Anytime an event goes down, if an officer tases someone, shoots someone, tries to de-escalate a situation, I mean, that body camera footage is released on the news. So we could say, I guess people could assume that that's going to be used to take down peaceful protesters, but that footage is going to have to be released. There would be public outcry if that goes down. So I kind of wish, in a way, we're not so extreme with with all the use of technology and the fear that it brings, or, the fear of taking my guns away. I mean, I thought, I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch Matthew McConaughey this past week give that press conference, but it was so powerful for him to say, responsible gun owners are tired of these people, these situations, making them look bad. And he said, we're so far extreme sometimes with the media and with, on the right and the left, that sometimes we just need to be able to find common ground. And so I hate to use these fear tactics for technology, because I think it's so easy to pinpoint, you know, the worst case scenario. And Dr. Bett, we joke around, you know, many times on this podcast about, you know, worst case scenario and what it could do. We're not talking about, and yes, I'm going to drop another Marvel reference here, but, you know, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, where Hydra was using AI to target potential threats in the world and take them out with big gunships and drones. I mean, that's, you know, not what we're going for here. But we need to find common ground in a lot of these issues. And I don't think that we need to be afraid of what technology can do as long as we're using it in the right way.
Great. Thank you, Matt. Zane, what about yourself?
Yeah, there are other examples too across the Atlantic of drones being used for good. I had seen a few stories during the outbreak of the Ukraine-Russo conflict where they actually had ambulatory drones. So definitely want to underscore there are a lot of cool uses that are happening now. And I think that just like with any new technology, people's adoption, one, there's that social acceptance and norm, and then there's also that systemic, like field or task specific. And that's the worrying, yeah, like jumping to the immediate conclusion, oh, it's going to be used on protesters. That's a very politicized answer. And usually this new technology is already vetted by its creators. They come with concerns and considerations. They know the limitations and strengths of their technology. So there's also, I think, room for tech optimism. I think a lot of what we just see now is, like you pointed out, Matt, responsible gun owners are tired of this. Like, this is, I don't even know, the upteenth mass shooting. And for heaven's sake, like, it was very cruel. And Americans are fed up, and I'm right there with them. And people are just looking at this system and saying, hey, how can we make this better?
Yeah, so that's a couple of really great points, Zane. You know, there's tons of positive examples of this technology, drone technology, being used. And Matt, I agree, based on your experience of having video recordings available to help assess situations, what went really well for potential training, maybe missteps that happened that you can learn from to improve your own interactions with people from a policing perspective or from a organizational perspective. Now, the interesting thing that happened here is they put out this message on Twitter and then got a ton of blowback. You know, I mentioned the Reddit Ask Me Anything, which we'll talk about here in a second, but I'm interested to hear from you guys, because pretty quickly they had to backpedal and say, actually, we're going to reassess this, because they had several of their board members think, yeah, I might be wrong with the numbers, you can correct me, but I think they had 13 board members and 9 of them resigned pretty quick after this was put out, because they had put together a report saying that they didn't think that their drone technology should be used in schools, mass shootings in particular. So what do you guys think about this very quick backward step that Axon had to take specifically? Is that due to this maybe correct or incorrect public outcry?
Yeah, I think they just came out on the wrong side. The shooting happened, in terms of timing, the shooting happened on May 24th and they tweeted this out on June 2nd. I wanted to know too, when, like if they had made any other announcements around then, because I just think because there was so much focus on it that, board members, surely had personal disagreements, but also, they were worried about, giving the company the wrong image. And I do think, that tweet personally, I felt was a little bit tone deaf, just because there's a marketing term where you newsjack, and newsjacking is finding an event where you can promote your product in a way that it's applicable. And I think some of the marketers there were willing to take that risk. Would I have done it? No, but I see exactly where they're coming from. But if you're like just the average Joe or whoever their target consumer is, like, do you have politicians saying, yes, we need drones? Like, I don't think anyone across the board is saying that. It's just too pie in the sky for some, and maybe that's ultimately why the board did it. I don't think that many resigning is definitely surprising. I would think there'd be more like a strongly worded report, maybe the one you mentioned, Ian.
Yeah, I would think there's probably more going on behind the scenes there than just this situation. But no, I'm with you, Zane. I think you're bringing up a lot of good points there, and the timing is suspect. But you know, I guess it's you take a chance, right? Maybe you hit, maybe people get behind it, and you know, you can get some investments and move it forward. But this was just kind of the wrong time, and probably tone deaf as well.
Yeah, and I will play the devil's advocate here. I definitely thought it was tone deaf initially here, so this isn't my personal belief, and I don't know Rick Smith, but maybe this was really impactful to him for many reasons that it's impactful to us. And he said, I've been working on this technology, and I want people to know that it's out there, and I want them to know that my company is going to play a role in making a solution. Now, obviously, we all make mistakes. We get ahead of our skis, so to speak, even when we're trying to do good. So maybe that is, in fact, what he was trying to do. Obviously, he's got a business run too. And, you know, this is, you strike when the iron's hot, unfortunately, in these circumstances. Now, they did take a lot of heat, which I think was rightfully so. And they did go back a few days later and say, hey, actually, we're not going to proceed with this. So maybe some of that was from the board response. Some of it was probably from the public outcry. And maybe some of it was even Rick Smith. I would have to look if he put anything on his personal Twitter page saying, hey, actually, you know, I thought some more about this, and my initial excitement has been tempered by other thoughts or considerations. I have the Reddit Ask Me Anything up here, and I looked through it earlier. There were a lot of very critical thoughts around just the concerns that we've shared. So maybe that did play a role from his perspective. What other thoughts do you guys have about the use of drones or other technology in particular in engaging, maybe not just with active shooter, but other situations in our day-to-day life? Anything that comes to your guys' minds for consideration?
Yeah, well, you know, I think Dr. Bett, we talked about this before, even like with fire departments, right? Is sending a drone in, you know, scanning the situation, seeing maybe where the hotspots are, maybe where the weak areas are in the building because of the fire, saving lives that way. You know, there's lots of applications with it. I don't think that this necessarily is totally bad. I mean, maybe the timing is bad. And I'm with you, Dr. Bett. Maybe he thought that, you know, this was his solution to try to, I mean, help out what's going on in this country. I mean, God forbid, you know, the politicians come to the table and try to solve this. You know, maybe it's going to take the private sector to come up with some solutions. But you know, there's lots of day-to-day activities that drones can assist with and help with, that aren't just, you know, public safety use cases.
Absolutely. Can we agree it's not to Uber Eats your food, right? That's at the yeah. bottom of the chain.
What about Amazon deliveries?
Yeah. It would definitely normalize it, I think, and people would get what they want. I'm sure the Amazon worker would have something to say about that, especially a delivery driver. But on a serious note, too, yeah, I think there's definitely so many applications. And I was looking at Rick's personal page, as Ian was saying, that Rick Smith's page, and he emphasized that they, I'm going to read it word for word. He said, we are looking to refocus and further engage with key constituencies to explore the best path forward. So he's talking about his commitment and the drone project for school public safety. It's just one aspect of it. So I imagine maybe there's other projects as well that we could dig into. I wonder if it's in any of those threads. But he, in that Reddit Ask Me Anything, talked about the risk to operator, decision-making control, the state of the decision-maker, capabilities of the operator. And actually one that stuck out to me under that capabilities of the operator, he was talking, he says right here, a single human operator may be emotionally engaged, may be physically exhausted at the end of a long shift, whereas a non-lethal drone, there is no risk for that single decision maker, in that you could have a, you know, control room of people who are fresh and experts ready to help assist with the AI decision. And I thought that's kind of cool, but I just don't know what use cases that could be applied to. So obviously he's talking about active shooter responses, but I loved your burning house and firefighter example, but I really can't think of any past that.
Yeah, and I wonder if some of the concern about utilizing drones, which, as we've just discussed, have many different really effective use cases for engaging with people. When we transpose one of the other topics that we talk a lot about on the podcast, you know, artificial intelligence into the drones, where maybe it's not, as you just relayed, Zane, a command center of humans potentially controlling this, but this is an algorithm. Maybe that's where some of the public outcry came from with the utilization of these drones against citizens. You know, if you don't have another human being controlling it with some guardrails saying like, okay, I can see that this person is not engaging in destructive behavior or not harming another person. But if you have, as we know, some of these algorithms for identifying people have been shown to have real true bias built into them for the recognition of individuals that may be very peaceful. All of us have participated in peaceful protests. And if there's an algorithm that's incorrect or has been programmed to be forceful on the public being utilized by a drone, maybe you then end up having really excessive force being used to control people. And I think that's where a lot of people from reading this Reddit AMA and the comments on the Twitter were rightfully concerned. It's not too far-fetched to think that a really positive application could turn into a negative one. I think guns are a perfect example. People own guns to protect themselves, hoping that they'll never have to use them. And yet we see that the number one use of guns, gun deaths are self-inflicted. Number two is a gun in the home being used against someone else in the home. Then certainly people can go out and buy guns, unfortunately, and commit atrocities like Uvalde. So tons of positive implications here for the use of the technology. So I'm interested to see what Axon pivots to. I think we go from there.
I was thinking, here's an interesting thought experiment, because we're talking about in the context of force or life-saving scenarios. Like, what if it was a little bit less invasive? Say, I mean, what's another leading cause for a death among Americans? It's just traffic, auto accidents, right? What if it was a drone, and like, let's say a city ordinance passed where there were drone stations that helped monitor speed and speeding zones? And let's say that that's not... that sounds like a great idea on the face of it. But then when you think of how people conduct themselves every day, like, is that invasive? Like, would people be like, obviously people are safe drivers, but speaking for myself, sometimes I like speed. And like, what if those drones just happened to like, either ping you, say you got a fine, or, maybe it's not that extreme and it just lets law enforcement know where the speeders are, like along that spectrum of use. I wonder whether there'd be public support for that. Because say if you get dinged every time you're 5 or 10 over the speed limit, I don't think that city ordinance would pass. And I think that's also a very kosher example of how these drones could be used in a less, in a different context.
Yeah, and Zane, you bring up a good point. And I think recently, at least in Toledo, I'm not sure if it was statewide or not, but we did have speeding cameras throughout the city. And it was recently stopped because of inaccuracies or there were several issues that were going on. But basically, the Toledo Police Department was told not to use those cameras for giving out fines and speeding, because it was very arbitrary, the limit over the speed limit that you could get a ticket. So, well, maybe a funding source for the public sector and you know, TPD or any other law enforcement, some of the inaccuracies and some of the discrepancies that were found shut that program down.
Wow. How long did that go? I'm curious.
That recently, I think it was about 2 years ago that it kind of stopped and it was tied up in court, and then they were told not to use them anymore.
Yeah, and I think drone technology is really fascinating. I myself haven't flown one before, but we've all seen videos of really ingenious uses of drones to help other people. We've discussed some of them, but we've also seen the really negative sides, you know, with drone warfare all over the world, you know, and helping to identify the opposition locations and where to send troops. So I don't think people are being too far-fetched when they think about the possibility of someone using let's say the city government, state government, federal government using drones negatively. I don't think those concerns are overblown, but with most things in technology, people do really have some positive intent here. And that's what makes me think maybe Rick Smith himself did. And when he realized how much the public outcry was, and then certainly having several members of the board step down I won't get the numbers exact of the breakdown, but the four remaining board members were all either current or former law enforcement. So the people who stuck with the, yes, we should use this drone technology to help prevent mass shootings, were all people with significant experience, right? And however you view the government or law enforcement is going to color your determination if that's for good or bad, which we won't dive into, but it does say a lot when the quote unquote experts do think that this could be utilized. I'll take us back to the very beginning where Matt said, though, you know, most people in these situations are, when it's planned, are going to have some body armor or some other tactical gear that's going to maybe diminish, if not completely eliminate, the efficacy of a taser.
Yeah. Well, and let's not forget too, the shooting in Buffalo recently, that wasn't a school setting, was at a supermarket. I mean, there was someone there watching the store with a gun that wasn't able to take down the shooter because of the body armor. So I don't think it's very simple just to say, you know, use a drone, you know, have a guy with a gun. Oh, a good guy with a gun always stops a bad guy with a gun. I mean, it's more complicated than that.
Yeah. What do you guys think? I mean, we're all technophiles. We like using technology for good. That's one of the main purposes of Archimedes International and our discussion for the Man and Machine podcast. But do you think we're getting into a dystopian place here where we're having these conversations about potentially using drones here in the US to stop people who are committing acts of violence against each other? Just not a technology question, maybe just a social question. Zane, what do you think?
I think maybe if you would have asked me 3 years ago, before I read all these books about technology, so whether it was about how technology influences attention or news cycle, I would have, if I didn't know that, I would have said, oh yeah, no, this is very dystopian. It's very Orwellian. But now I just think it's a matter of us adapting to our technology. And that also kind of makes it sound inevitable and maybe a little fatalistic. But I'm very optimistic that there are creators of this technology and the public is smart enough to, you know, choose what does and what doesn't work, or at least make its will known. So all that is to say, I don't think it's dystopian, because I fundamentally believe that technology is at our behest, and until Skynet comes online, we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, we always like to reference Skynet on this podcast, and we actually have had now the fourth agent of Archimedes join us here for the final minutes of this episode. A big antagonist to Skynet himself, Will Bett, has joined. Will, did you want to just introduce yourself briefly here? We've had a pretty robust discussion so far here on episode 83.
Yeah, apologies for the late arrival. I had some scheduling issues this morning, but glad to be back. Glad to be back in the finals and happy to be a top contributor off the bench.
Yeah, well, it's always good to have backup when you know what you got yourself into. So we'll give you a minute to get loosened up here. Matt, I'm curious what you think from the social perspective of this technology. Is do you have an optimistic perspective like Zane does, or where are you sitting?
I'm always for, you know, more technology and utilizing the resources that it brings to the table. I think in this case, you know, we're just not really addressing what the main issue is. And I think that's the biggest problem is, you know, as Matthew McConaughey said this past week, I mean, look at the damage that an AR-15 can do to someone. You know, why is that allowed to be legally purchased in this country? You know, what use does it serve? But I mean, and we're going to throw a drone at it to try to stop that problem. I mean, we're fundamentally not getting to the root cause of what the issue is with gun ownership and with, you know, just the, you know, mass shootings in general and the mental health crisis that's going on in this country. So I'm all for technology. I hope that we can utilize, you know, more of it as we go forward in this country. And I'm sure that we will, but I think in this case, you're throwing like a bucket of water on a burning building.
Yeah. And Will, I'll get your input here in a second. We're talking about some of the societal implications of having this type of technology available. And to your point, Matt, one of the many astute people on Twitter and Reddit here that were pushing back on Axon said, you don't think a shooter with AR-15 could take out this drone? To your point, you know, I've seen these types of injuries as a physician in a metropolitan area, right? In Columbus, Ohio, I've seen the result of these injuries. And I'm a family medicine physician. I'm not even a trauma surgeon, but I've done ED rotations and worked on trauma surgery as a student in residence. So I've seen the outcomes here. A drone wouldn't stand a chance, much less a child. So Will, I know you're joining us late coming off the bench, but we're going to need a three-pointer here to get ahead as we finish up. What are your, you know, thoughts on this Axon article on the use of drone technology and where that puts us as a culture?
I hopefully will bring a little slightly different perspective than what you all have discussed before I joined, but I just think this is obviously a very complex societal issue. I don't see how, you know, it's hard enough for people to predict, like, we know they happen, but it's hard to, like, in the moment lead up to them. And I just don't see how drones would really do much to solve this issue. And in fact, I can see them being used for slightly more, just, you know, even more dystopian purposes, like surveillance of protests and other things that are kind of known more in advance. And I think I sent you a different article about a company that was using AI to basically scan crowds of people. And I think this has been used to stadiums and other venues along the same lines as metal detectors, but far more efficient and less intrusive. You know, and I think, you know, technology is great to a point, but again, it's a tool. And I think we have to address a lot of underlying issues in our society before we say, ah, yes, this one specific thing will solve all of our problems. I just don't think it's that easy.
Yeah, that's a good synopsis on some of the topics that we talked about, Will, with some of your own personal insights. So we're finishing up here on episode 83 of the Man and Machine podcast brought to you by Archimedes International. We'll do a quick round robin of final thoughts. Zane, would you like to go first?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that I'm super excited to see what this company does in the future. I think they have wonderful applications outside of this context. like we've discussed. There's a lot more central issues that need to be solved for gun control and responsible gun ownership. And I hope that our politicians and leaders pay attention to it. But I'm always an optimist. I'll never put technology down because, hey, fire's pretty nice. And look how far that got us.
Love it. Matt, what are your final thoughts here?
Yeah, I'd like to echo Zane's comments there. I hope that we continue to utilize technology to the fullest extent. We find the solutions that we need through it that will aid our society and make it better. But I do hope that our politicians and society can kind of come together and find some common ground on these issues and common sense reforms that'll make gun ownership and gun laws safer for individuals. And I'll go back again and say, with Matthew McConaughey, I definitely agree that there are good gun owners in this country that are fed up with what's going on. So hopefully maybe that pressure can add some fuel to the fire and get some reform done.
All right. Well, you hit that three off of the cross-court pass. Can you hit another one here? What are your thoughts off the bench? He's just towel waving still from the bench, muted. So let me show. Oh, all right. He's in the game again.
I was getting the shimmy shake warmed up before I brought out this quote from George Carlin I came across the other day. And it was, inside every cynical person, there's a disappointed idealist. And I think in this case, there's a lot of finger pointing and common sense proposals and all these things, but there's just not a lot of action from either side. And I think about my own children getting to be school age and what that means for their experiences. And I hope that, like Matt said, there's a lot of people who are safe and responsible gun owners. And I think getting more of those people on the side of solutions to just minimizing access to people who shouldn't necessarily be able to access these weapons, and oftentimes weapons of war, not really for sport. And I think it's it shouldn't be up to people like Matthew McConaughey to stand up and speak or to be listened to. It should be to parents and physicians and other people in the community to say, we are going to work together to address all of these factors that play into these, mass shootings and other societal issues. And I hope that people listening and people here on this podcast are willing to be those leaders in the communities to bring some actual change.
Yeah. And Dr. Beck, can I make one more point before we close out here? One thing that I guess worries me too is kind of the coverage of some of these events, and I'm not blaming the media necessarily for it, but the problem is that every time an event like this happens and there's outrage and there's coverage, we're just giving fuel to the fire with no solutions to another shooter that's getting emboldened by, what's going on and what they might think is, hey, I can do this too. I can get some notoriety. I can get some fame or whatever is going through their mind. So the longer we postpone these, anything that we could do to kind of stop this from going on in our country, the more fuel we're adding to the fire of someone who's going to do it again or step up this week. I mean, it's hard not to go into each week thinking that there's not going to be another mass shooting, because there's so frequently now we're almost numb to it, which is really sad to say.
Yeah. And so my final thoughts here are a little bit of an amalgamation. I agree with the thoughts again from the other agents of Archimedes. And I would just say, I like Will's point about all of us stepping up as leaders, as individuals, in whatever field we're in, and within our communities as citizens. I'd also like to point out that I think feedback worked well here, even though it was, public outcry against Axon to say, hey, this is kind of crazy to use this technology for mass shootings. But in many circumstances, companies would just continue barreling forward with the utilization of technology. So we all have to be good stewards to provide feedback and say, hey, I love technology, I love drones, but this is a bad application. And if we can do that as citizens and as a general public, we can continue having technology that benefits us. Now we just got to get over some of the other social and political issues. So episode 83 is in the books. We had a fantastic roundtable with all the agents of Archimedes, Zane Bali, Matt Makoviak, Will Bett, and myself, Ian Bett. This is your first episode. Thanks for joining us. Hope you'll take a few moments to go back and take a look at our catalog on iTunes and Spotify, Podbean, and see some of the other topics we've talked about with some really amazing guests. If you've been with us every once in a while, hopefully you enjoyed this discussion, picked up some new and interesting thoughts. Feel free to reach out to us on social media. On Twitter, we have the Man and Machine Podcast site or archimedesinternational.net. But if this is the first time, for the 83rd time, you've been with us for every single episode, you will know that we want you to remember that the imagined fuels reality.